Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ready for the next level of real personalized banking? Muna's ITMs are like a teller in your car. That's right. From 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, using one of Muna's ITMs at our main branch in Marion or Collinsville makes it so easy to bank with us.
This is Rebecca Turner, and thank you for listening to the Good Things Podcast here on Super Talk Mississippi.
It's Mississippi's Radio Happy Hour.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
You're listening to Good Things with Rebecca Turner.
Well, I'm going to Mississippi, Mississippi, here I come.
Bringing you the good stories of Mississippi's people, places, and things to do. Now, here's Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Super Talk Mississippi. You're tuned into your radio happy hour. That's the Good Things. I'm your host, Rebecca Turner. Now, don't forget, you can listen to Good Things. We are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. We're also streaming from that Super Talk Mississippi app and your local Super Talk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget, you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Super Talk TV. And today we've got Miss Anna Lee Jolly. She is Miss Capital City of 2025, but she is also an author, an advocate, and someone whose story began across the world in Ukraine in an orphanage. And she's up to some really good things here in Mississippi. So welcome, Anna Lee.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, is it Anna Lee or do you want Anna? How does it go?
It's Anna Leah.
Anna Leah for you. Okay, so I have an Emily James, and I get irritated when people call her Emily. And so I just want to make sure I get that right, Miss Anna Leah. Well, welcome today and congratulations. So we've had many pageant winners or title holders come as you gear up for the next phase there in Vicksburg coming up in June for Miss Mississippi. But you may have a little bit different story that kind of led you to this way than some of the others. So take a back how far you want to, Anna Leah, kind of give us a background of your advocacy and then what makes your story special.
Yeah, so I was adopted from Ukraine when I was almost 12 years old, and yesterday it actually just marked of 12 years of me being here, so it's literally half of my life in Ukraine and half of my life here. Something that I remember everything about Ukraine. I remember where I lived, on the streets, I knew the back of just all the towns that I grew up in, and Odessa, I knew it like the back of my hand, and Belgorod is where I grew up for the most part. And it's just so sad to see like where, you know, Ukraine is right now. But something that I'm doing right now, being adopted and being from an orphanage for a few years, I really want to encourage people that where your story starts is not where it ends. And to really encourage them to push forward and to also do something in the waiting while you're waiting to get adopted or while you're waiting for that rainbow at the end of the gray sky. But I was, when I was adopted, I didn't speak English at all. It was, I guess, 2013, and I remember it like yesterday. I went to Jackson Academy for just a little bit. I learned English really, really fast by watching a lot of TV.
Oh, what'd you watch?
I watched, oh my goodness, just like Disney Channel and Disney movies that were all in English. And it's kind of funny because I thought they were all originally in Russian. So it was kind of a wake-up call. But I just remember even like Little Mermaid was, I just remember all the songs in Russian. So it was really funny to have it all in English. And then I started ballet because I couldn't speak English with Bal Nificat. And it was just a way for me to dance and do something that didn't require talking. And I so happened to have a Russian teacher. So it was really helpful for me. He was like my only friend for a while. And I just got, I guess I fell in love with it, got really good at it. I trained with Catherine Morgan for a few years. And Yuri Roborsky was my Russian teacher. He was technically from Czech, but he can speak Russian. And he was my small group leader at Pine Lake. So it was really cool. And then now I own a dance studio called Studio A Dance Company. It's within Courthouse Gymnastics in Flowood. And it's my third year. In fact, tomorrow we're having Alice in Wonderland recital. So I'm really excited to get the girls ready. And then something that kind of pushed me into this organization or introduced me to it was actually dancing. I met a lot of friends through dance and through Bal Nificat and Belhaven. And they were like, hey, you really need to do Miss Mississippi. It's a really good way to showcase your talent and also learn how to speak and not be shy. And also it's a really good way to talk about something like Limitless, which is an organization that I started last year as I was Miss Rankin County.
And that would be in part of your, now they call them the Community Service Initiative.
Yes.
Well, I have to say, Annalia, man, what courage it took for anyone to come from a different country and then, you know, have to learn a new language and make new friends and all that. So it should have been nothing for you to get on stage. Normally I talk about what courage it takes young ladies to do that, and it still does. It's a different type of courage, but it just sort of goes to show in terms of the resilience with that. When you got that opportunity, you knew or probably were introduced to this idea of that community service initiative, which used to be Platform, which used to be all these things. And every time we have a title holder in Good Things, I remind them that these young women are doing such great things outside in their communities, you know, utilizing these platforms. So Limitless for you, was it created prior to you getting into the Miss America organization, or was that a good jumping off point for you to utilize your story and your advocacy in a more streamlined way?
It was definitely just a way in for me. I didn't know that I could use my story to make such a big impact until I competed in Miss Mississippi. And honestly, it was such a God thing. Just every step I took was blessed with advocating for Limitless Day, which was just yesterday, which is Mississippi's Limitless Day, is just recognizing foster care and adoption and what my service community service brings to the table, which I have a website. It's called limitlesspowertoconnect.com, and it's for parents. It introduces the emotion wheel and how to use it, my story, and how you can even play fun games, print it out, the emotion wheel, and what you can do with it to
connect. We haven't heard of the emotion wheel first, explain that to us.
Yes. Emily. So I actually have a brand new book in Barnes & Noble. It's called Theodore, the Little Bear with Big Feelings. And it introduces the emotion wheel. It talks about how this little bear gets adopted and he doesn't know what to do with his feelings. And the mom introduces the emotion wheel saying, hey, these are the different colors, these are the different emotions. And if you feel a certain way and you just don't know how to talk about it, you can just point and we'll talk it through. And they've always listened, and he got really, really comfortable with sharing his emotions. And at the very back of the book, it has the children version of the emotion wheel, and also the complex version of the emotion wheel. And it's just a really, really good way for parents, caregivers, or just the community to connect with children, especially like for someone like me, I didn't speak English. So sharing my emotions was really difficult. So if I had a tool like that when I first came, it would have saved so many tears.
Yeah.
Because communication is so hard.
How'd you get introduced to it? The emotion wheel.
I honestly don't know. We've kind of researched a lot of therapists that used it. Mm-hmm. And
I feel like every parent needs that.
Yeah, I feel like it's not very well known. So it's something that I really wanted to introduce to the world in a fun way that doesn't feel like therapy, but it is.
And a way, too, to just work through, I guess, emotions and feelings. And I think it's wonderful that you're utilizing this platform to focus on foster children and adoption. There's so many beautiful stories that can come out of that. There's still a lot of misunderstanding or fears that are surrounding sort of that. And so anytime we can hear about those that, you know, the stories of the lives that were changed, right? Like yours was completely changed 12 years ago when you came to Mississippi. That had to be a shock. We're moving into the summer months. Annalia, have you still gotten used to the humidity here?
Yeah, it's definitely different because it snows in Ukraine all the time.
Yeah, we don't have that often. No. You know, we don't have that often here. But your next look is out for Miss Mississippi, right? And so that's the big one where we crown our next Miss Mississippi. Do you feel ready for that?
Absolutely. Yes, ma'am. I mean, using my platform has made such a difference already. I was actually just doing a book reading of my two books, Limitless About Annalia the Limitless Ballerina and Theodore the Little Bear with Big Feelings. They're both in Barnes & Noble, but something that when I was reading, one of the girls said that her mom just passed away last year and she was only 9 years old. And just getting her to come out of her shell and just talk about that was such a big deal. So the fact that she loved the book, and the fact that she was able to use that as a way to communicate is just so phenomenal. So I really hope that Miss Mississippi is definitely not validating what I'm doing, but it's elevating everything I'm doing. And just getting to do all this as Miss Capital City, I can only imagine what Miss Mississippi could do. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So you competed last year, and you got
fourth runner-up.
Which, congratulations.
Thank you.
So if you win Miss Mississippi, why would that title also be special and unique to you?
Yeah, well, for someone that's not from here and wasn't born in this country and wasn't born in Mississippi, it would mean so much to me, because it would mean something so different than any other contestant that's competing. To wear the title across my chest would be something that I've chosen. You know, Mississippi actually got offered a spot in Brazil 1 year for dancing and ballet, but I chose Mississippi Company instead. I really love this place. It's been given me so much, and to give back and really live out the American dream is just so special to me. So I hope I can be a really good example, and I definitely think I would be a very different Miss Mississippi from anyone who has come before me.
You were already a good example, Miss Analia, and you don't necessarily need a crown to make an impact, but if you do, then kudos to you, obviously. If folks want to look into your book or your website or any of the other things, how can they follow you?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Analia Jolly, and you can find me on Barnes & Noble, Limitless Ballerina, or Theodore the Little Bear with Big Feelings. Or they can also find me at limitlesspowertoconnect.com and on Facebook, Instagram. My Studio A dance company is also on Facebook. So follow and watch Miss Mississippi.
Good luck. We will be watching and following your story. It won't end here, I promise that. All right, stick with us. We got more for you coming up next.
And the radio, I like to see sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes. Feel the touch of my precious child. And no mother's love.
We believe.
Making your afternoon just a little brighter. It's Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi.
Worked all week, got it all done. Let's make the Tennessee River run. Hey, everybody, I think the time is right. Let's get together down where the catfish bite.
Welcome back to Good Things. Don't forget, we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm. Also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. But don't forget, you can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. And don't forget, coming up tomorrow, you got Garden Mama. She's going to be at the opening of the Tupelo Farmers Market at the Depot tomorrow from 8 to 10 here on Supertalk. The Tupelo Farmers Market at the Depot has locally grown vegetables, fruit, honey, flowers, and so much more. There couldn't be more packed into one National Day calendar, but the two that sticks out for me today, Rhino, and I'm like, huh, I don't know which would be more fun to talk about, National Barbecue Day or National Pizza Party Day, or, okay, so give me, there's three. I think there's also National Classic Movie Day, or did I find that on another one?
No, that's today.
That
yeah.
is today, too. There's so many of them today. It's like everybody said, May
16th. Also Mimosa Day.
Also Mimosa Day. I feel like you could have a classic movie while drinking a mimosa, eating barbecue or pizza, and you could pretty much celebrate this day any way you wanted.
Sounds like a pretty good Friday night.
It sounds like a really great Friday night in that way. So, you know what? It's Friday. You choose which route we go in, Rhino.
Well, not to steal Tanya's thunder, but she's talking about new releases, so I figure we could talk a little bit about classic movies.
So how would you define classic? Because it's kind of like, okay, with cars now, if you're talking about a classic car, automobile, don't they have like a date that considers them like when they become antique at least?
Yeah, that's when they become antique. I want to say it's 20 years when it's antique and it's officially recognized as being antique because you can go buy the antique tag from the government. But as far as classic, it feels like there are kind of two different definitions. You've got someone's personal classics, mm-hmm. where it's their favorite films, their group, or like a car, their favorite type of car, what they think is a classic. And then you've got kind of the generally accepted classics, mm-hmm. where I think in movies it's a little different from cars. Cars, you don't want them to necessarily be timeless. You want to be able to look at it and go, oh, it's got those fenders and and that rear tail light and that grill, so it's that model mm-hmm. year and that style. Whereas with movies, maybe it's easier for a movie to be a classic if it has kind of a timeless quality to it, where when you're watching it, you're not taken out of the story by something that sticks out. Like, if you go back and watch some of the admittedly not classic movies from the 90s and 2000s, like a lot of the spoof movies mm-hmm. or the rom-coms or the teeny bopper stuff, where it's kind of obvious they had some buy-in from different electronics companies, mm-hmm. or even The Matrix. The Matrix would be considered a classic, but there are points in it where you're like, huh, I remember those phones.
It didn't age well, is what you're saying.
Right.
So age well in sort of that way.
And that's why you have a lot of people that look at classics and they look at period pieces, because you don't have the problem with that unless you're a historian going, they would have never had that horse-drawn buggy wearing those types of dresses. But normal people don't really dig that deep into it.
No. Well, what the interweb says, what do you consider a classic? Many critics define a classic movie as any movie that is memorable or makes an impact on society. So it would be one, too, that, like, you're all still talking about, right? Like, there's one.
And that doesn't necessarily mean Oscar-winning, because there right. are a lot of Oscar-winning movies where you're like, has anybody seen that one?
Mm-hmm. As they say, whoever they is, impacts pop culture, influences society, or remains a part of your lives. I also would say, you know, as a parent, because there's different – some movies you wait to introduce your children to. But if you're a parent and you're like, I can't wait to introduce my kid to and fill in the blank with the movie, then that's almost a classic, especially if you are young and watched it with your family or your dad or your mom or your grandparents, or, you know, because we watched more movies together back in the day. And you're like, I can't wait until, you know. And one I'm laughing because it was – both of mine with Neely is traumatic. One, and I'll say accident. I've seen the movie, but I remember My Girl came on the TBS's, TNT's, or whatever it may be. I was like, oh, we're going to watch this, or maybe not. Maybe it was streaming and it was a classic, came up as classic. And it's like, it just was lost on me that it was like the saddest movie ever, to which me and her.
Well, only at the end.
Bawling our eyes out at the end, right?
It's kind of a touching movie up until the end.
Up until she confessed the other day that she was watching a meme or something. Anyway, and it was of My Girl. I can't remember the setup for it. And she said, Mommy, I got all teary. He just went back for his glasses. I was like, so I ruined you there. And then the other one was she was studying and became very, like, into Titanic at school, like, read books and did a whole project, drew things, built the little the Lego set. So finally I was like, okay, you're old enough. We can watch the movie together. I will fast forward the, you know, the scene, the two scenes that you don't need to, you know. One was
Well, there's really only one that's that bad.
It's demon's chalk. We just need to get past them.
It's just a hand sliding down the window.
Says the guy who doesn't have a preteen living in his home. Okay, awkward sauce on even if she even if the connection doesn't make in her head, it didn't.
Hey,
make
I saw it on the big screen when I was in like seventh grade.
And anywho, she studied it in school. By God, they tell you the ending, and then when the ship starts going down, it's just it was traumatic in the Turner household, and we had to like turn it off and like take a deep breath, and we had to like walk through it. And I'm like, I am 0 for 2 when it comes to introducing my kid to classic movies that I enjoyed. But anywho, I'm gonna wait a little longer on both for the little. But
so you're saying they're not ready for Jurassic Park.
Well, they've seen, you know, so they've both seen Jurassic Park.
Well, there you go. That's an example of a classic from our youth.
But I think the fact that it's considered, they know that that's not real, impacted Neely a little less in that respect. Aaron and Meridian, The Goonies. I almost got rid of my husband because he hadn't watched The Goonies after we got married, and he didn't get it. And I'm like, I don't think we're compatible. We should have asked that question prior to getting married almost 18 years ago. But The Goonies is one that when I sit down, I am locked in and I'm going to watch it. Even if it doesn't matter that it's cheesy. It's cheese done well.
That's part of the charm of it.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't, you wouldn't want, and I think they're talking about remaking it, which makes me incredibly nervous because part of the charm, it was almost like remaking Beetlejuice, which they did fairly well with it, I mean, considering. But some of the charm was in the cheese, and so it's really hard to recreate that cheese. You know, it's kind of like magic in a bottle in that way.
But. Yeah, because the, well, Hollywood's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They have moved on as far as the techniques and styles that they implement in filmmaking, and audiences have become a little bit more discerning, a little bit more demanding than they were in the 80s and 90s. So you have, there aren't many directors still making them like they did, and audiences aren't still watching them like they did. So I get why they didn't want to put that much cheese in the new Beetlejuice, and it seems like every movie nowadays, or not every, but most movies nowadays take themselves way too seriously. Mm-hmm. Because it's really not that long ago in the grand scheme of things where movies would give you that little wink, wink, nudge, nudge without it being just an overt joke.
Right.
It was a nod to people that were paying attention or a nod to people that had seen a previous movie, but it was never looking at the camera. Do you get the joke? All right, you got the joke. Let's move on with the story.
Jeff in Pontotoc considers It's a Wonderful Life to be a classic. It contains a beautiful message that does stand the test of time. Randy in Starkville says Animal House is a
dog.
And I would say that lends to exactly what you're sort of describing in terms of just good humor and lighthearted. And at one point, you could just go in and watch a movie and feel good and didn't really need a hefty lesson and knew there weren't going to be sequels and trilogies and all these things. And it was, you know, and then you could watch it again and laugh at the same places all over again. Bubba from Meridian, excuse me, still has not allowed his daughter to see Jaws. She would never go back to the beach. We chose.
She might not get a shower for a week.
We chose not to show our Twister, take her to see the new Twister. I wasn't sure how realistic she has seen the one on TV, but even then, the one on TV versus, again, like you said, seeing the tornadoes on the big screen, and I wasn't sure how dramatic they would make it. I was scared that she really wouldn't ever come, you know.
But that's another great example of, well, hang on, we got to go. We got cows. Like, it's a good joke, but it wasn't like, oh, look at the cow.
Yeah.
Look, there's another. They didn't just run it into the ground. They told the joke and moved on.
Yeah, and that would be a classic, too, obviously. All right, stick with us. Speaking of movies, we got Tanya to give us a few more updates coming up next.
Rebecca Turner.
She's smart and pretty.
Good Things with Rebecca Turner continues on Super Talk Mississippi.
Because this is either for Tanya and a new release movie, or you're leaning into our classic National Classic Movie Day. Because it wouldn't surprise me, though, if there was a song that could have been in a classic movie that's also now in a new release. Is that what you're shaking your head?
Yes. This is a song that came out in 87, but it's also in a movie that just came out, or recently came out.
I was thinking it definitely, wasn't it in Mannequin? Back in the 80s?
Oh, yeah. It was in like three or four of them in the 80s, I believe.
Yeah. But current movie.
Actually, technically, let me replace. It wasn't in the movie. It was the song for the trailer.
Ah.
I'm going to go with just always my faithful Thunderbolt.
There you go.
Oh.
Only because the only reason I'm like smart at that trivia is because he pulled out all of those in Deadpool, which I know that's not like the same. It's the same kind of, but they lend to the humor of throwing these those type of songs in places you wouldn't expect. So
the MCU loves a needle drop.
Yeah. Well, that was a good switch over in terms of topics. We do have Tanya here to talk new movies, but real quick, classic movies. I know you could take up the rest of the hour talking about classic movies. But for you, what's defined as a classic movie?
The first one that comes to my mind is St. Elmo's Fire. That was such a big one for me back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I just recently rewatched that one, Pretty in Pink, Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. 16 Candles was a big one for me, too. So
all those goodies.
Yeah, I just love all of them.
Do we love any of the new releases as much as we love some of the classics? Oh, is that a trick question?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Marvel Universe definitely, I feel like, will be classics because they hold up. Like, I recently rewatched part of Iron Man 3 because I was trying to find the answer to something. And I felt like it really held up. And I remember at the time thinking that was my least favorite of the Iron Man movies, but it's amazing how
well, you know, and you remember my introduction to the Marvel Universe was I watched the Endgame first. It was my very first ever to see, which was a terrible idea, right? I was just didn't buy into it. And then I kind of got hooked. So then I started watching them backwards. So sometimes when you see things again, but you have the answer, it makes it more interesting because you can see the ties. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And that's what just overwhelms me when you think about that world is how perfectly it's threaded. No matter who's directing, who's writing, they just, you know, it's just perfectly done.
There's gotta
be a
master key somewhere with shortcuts and all the things in that way. Well, what is new this week, Miss Tanya?
Well, we've got one scary movie coming out this weekend, Final Destination, Bloodlines. The one thing, I have not seen any of these since the first one. It traumatized me enough that this is not my favorite genre anyway, but this is actually the sixth movie.
Really?
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, one was enough.
Last one before this one was 2011, so almost 15 years ago. I mean, that's really hard to believe it's that many, and then they waited that long.
So does it pick up where it left off? Is there a log truck?
In this one, it is like an ancestor to some of the characters we've previously seen, and she discovers, of course, she's got questions about her grandmother and why she's so recluse, kind of distant from the family, and so she goes to see her to get the answers, and of course things turn bad, and she realizes that her family's being killed in the order, her bloodline is being killed in the order of birth. So just a happy, feel-good movie.
It's just a wonderful movie. Go, you know what? You should go and make your life feel better about your life.
Yes. Hopefully you don't have
this
kind of
thing going on. But there is an audience for you, for that will flock to it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And then the other big movie out this weekend is called Hurry Up Tomorrow. And this is actually a companion movie to The Weeknd's latest album, which makes me think of Jennifer Lopez. You remember the Amazon release a few years ago? Mm-hmm. This Is Me Now. And sadly, she divorced not long after that. And it makes me think a little bit of Piece by Piece, the Lego movie that's about Pharrell's life, which I watched and I thought it was really good. But anyway, it's loosely based on The Weeknd's life and, you know, a lot of artistic
references and connections.
And anyway, so that's really it for new movies. So this is probably a good weekend to go see The Thunderbolts if you missed it the first time.
Still good, still doing well?
Yeah, it still is. It was number one last weekend. It's over almost $140 million to date, which is not shabby. There is also a home release. This one is on Netflix, and it's called Nona's, which is
so good. Yeah. We watched it last weekend.
Yes. The Italian name for grandmother. Mm-hmm. And oh my gosh, wasn't it sweet?
It was sweet. I watched it with my mother-in-law and the family watched it. And so I highly, yeah. It was
yeah.
A good one.
I love Vince Vaughn.
And it's not his normal role.
I mean, the first thing I thought 10 minutes into it, I was like, when is he going to get his Oscar? And, you know, maybe you never know. This one could get him a little attention because he played the part so well. And we've seen him play silly, of course, and we've seen him play mean, evil. But he really stretched his chops in this one. But he plays a guy who's lost his mother and really misses her. Yeah. And really just misses them. And the thing that keeps coming to his mind is they're cooking, and you know that was his connection with them, and so he decides to open this restaurant and honor them by cooking some of their recipes. And his idea was, I'm gonna get grandmas to come in here and cook, and that's what he did. But oh gosh, it was so sweet. Was I just sweet. Thought it was really
it was based off a true story, which I thought was real interesting.
And it's I don't know, like you said, it's definitely a departure for him and reminds me of what a great actor he is, and he needs an Oscar.
It was also good to see older actresses being able to.
Susan Sarandon was in it. I have a hard time thinking of her as a grandmother. I mean, to me, she looks exactly the same as she did in Major League all those years ago. Joe Manganiello's in it, so a great cast. But definitely check that out if you have Netflix. Or get a friend's password. And
she didn't say that.
No,
on there,
I'm just
she
kidding.
Would never do that.
Never
do that. But you know, however you can watch it and stream it, that would be it. To me, it was a wonderful family movie. It's one if you're still celebrating Mother's Day late, or you want to cut. I mean, it was a good heartfelt one for sure.
Yeah, and talking about classic movies, a lot of Vince Vaughn movies would fall in that category for me too. I love Swingers. Dodgeball. I mean, they're all
my favorite is the breakup, and it's the whole lemon scene where she wants him to want to get the lemons, and he's like, I got the dang lemons, and she's like, no, I want you to want to get the lemons,
yeah.
And then he's like, what? And I'm like, that is marriage.
Yes, it's very relatable.
But yeah, and that's more of his classic sort of roles that you sort of see him in, and this one's a little softer side.
Yeah.
In that way. Speaking of classics, Aaron and Meridian text in Tanya, and he said he loves watching them. Movies with his dad, westerns, The Outlaw, The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, Glory, Unforgiven, Braveheart. So there's all different classics.
The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Law Josie. The Outlaw Josie Wales or whatever. You've got categories of classics as well. There's a lot of different that would kind of fall under that. Keith says all the National Lampoons.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bueller.
Mm-hmm.
Would fall into that. Were there any for you, Tanya, for such a love of movies that you couldn't wait to share with your boys once they got to have, you know, an age to have enjoyed it?
Let me think on that a minute. Probably something like The Bad News Bears, but, you know, an edited version on TV that... Because as a child, I thought it was funny, and everything went over my head. As an adult, I'm like, ooh, but, you know.
That's what I said about the Titanic. Everybody was like, there's only, like, one scene. I said, no, there's two that if you have a tween or a teen at home, you do not want to be watching that on the big screen with them.
Yeah.
See? I'm glad you totally agree with that, Tanya. All right. You keep sending us your classic movie favorites. Smokey and the Bandit's coming in hot. Many are saying that. Mm-hmm. And we've got more for you coming up next year on Good Things.
Beat. positive and stories that make you smile. This is Good Things with Rebecca Turner on Super Talk Mississippi, the Super Talk app, and at supertalk.fm.
Don't forget we are streaming live over at supertalk.fm, also streaming from that Supertalk Mississippi app and your local Supertalk Mississippi radio station. You can watch us too. We are on your computer, your mobile device. Just head on over to Supertalk TV. You can also say hi on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. One thing you guys do enjoy is your movies, and I appreciate that, and you chiming in. Like I mentioned, lots for Smokey and the Bandit for National Classic Movie Day, so your favorite classic movies. Alan in the Delta and Tim from 662. And then Brian in the Delta says, Good Will Hunting, or Brian and Belzoni, excuse me, about that. And two favorites coming in is Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and the Sting, from Mark in Bay Springs. And
I guess he just really likes, was it Paul Newman and Robert Redford in both of those?
Maybe so, in that way. I think, you know, we all have our difference. I think a lot of our same classics kind of fall in that kind of same category, whether you like the romance ones where Tanya's talking about 16 Candles and all that. But then she also mentioned during the break one of her favorite to introduce as a family was Star Wars. And I think that's cool. So, like, I didn't have that with parents necessarily who enjoyed a movie that then either came back or was still going that you could both enjoy the and introducing that. So I can only imagine if you were Star Wars or is or whatever the word is, Star Wars fan.
Well, in fairness, when we were growing up, Star Wars was a classic trilogy of movies already.
Correct.
And there really wasn't a whole lot of conversation about continuing that story. It was just a story. It got told in three parts, and people accepted that. It wasn't until about the mid-90s that the rumors started swirling of, they're going to make more Star Wars. They're going to tell you how Darth Vader became Darth Vader. Go check it out.
You wonder, so was if that wasn't always planned, you wonder.
It kind of was, but it just, it never really had a lot of momentum or steam. And the public, after Return of the Jedi, it was like, all right, that story's done. Mm-hmm. We don't, it, the concept of a prequel, while I believe it existed, I think you, because at that point in time, like the Indiana Jones movies, The second Indiana Jones movie, The Temple of Doom, chronologically happens before the first movie. With the Raiders
that?
Of the Lost Ark. Like, Raiders of the Lost Ark came out first. But in the timeline of Indiana Jones' life, Temple of Doom happened before Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Okay. So we accepted
so
it.
We understood the concept of a prequel. It just wasn't, there wasn't someone trying to tell the story of already established characters at a earlier point in their life, really, until the Star Wars prequel trilogy came out.
But I guess technically prequels couldn't work without a successful trilogy, correct?
Right.
Because then you have to fall in love with the character. You can only tell so much about a character in a short period of time anyway for them to want to go back and learn more about them to give that. So it had to have been successful. I just wonder, like, when was the day that it popped in? It was like, you know what? There's a story. Like, or was it, you know, was he grocery shopping and he was on aisle five and he was like, or was it like at a dinner party and somebody else was like, hey, you know what? You should wonder what blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, there's a moment where it was like, we could do this.
The guy that played Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, he did an interview in the early 90s, before the prequels were announced, before the rumors had started swirling. And he gave an interview talking about a conversation with the creator of Star Wars, George Lucas, about putting a pin in Return of the Jedi and coming back to it in 10 to 15 years' time to see where those characters are.
Mm-hmm.
But he was talking about it as if it was kind of a pie-in-the-sky idea for George that he never really wanted to. He just kind of thought it'd be cool. And then a couple years later, here's George Lucas making a whole new trilogy of films.
If you could get a prequel for a character, who would it be? This not one.
Ooh.
I know, that's a good question right here at the end of Good Things.
Yeah, because the first couple ones that popped in my head, they kind of tell the story at the beginning. So, is a tough one.
We may have to put a pin in that for another Friday movies day. But it would be because you do fall in love with them and you kind of wonder like or maybe fall in love's not the right language. Maybe it's just more you become very interested or you get very vested in like the little bit that you know for the 2 hours that you're watching it or maybe 6 hours if it's a couple movies. But getting to know like maybe what – and it's all fictional anyway, but still, that's okay.
This isn't like my final answer if somebody's listening, make this and give me credit for it. But I think it would be cool in the Kingsman series of movies to have a prequel with Eggsy's dad and the other guys that kind of bring him up in honor of his dad because apparently his dad was a hero.
Good question to think about. Good table talk for you guys this weekend. But stick with us. We got more for you up next. You got the Boys with Sports Talk from 3 to 6. Rhino and I'll meet you back here Monday at 2. But until then, I hope you all find time for the good things.
Are you ready? Mid-Delta Auction Company will be bringing you a massive three-day absolute public auction. May 29th, 30th, and 31st. It all kicks off Thursday at Maloof Furniture. Then Friday and Saturday at the Old Baldwin Warehouse in Greenwoods Industrial Park.
Never take your heart health for granted. For just $99, you can get a complete screening and know your risks. Call 601-249-5198 to schedule your Happy Healthy Heart screening at Southwest Mississippi Regional Medical Center.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.